This is week number 8 on doing a study on the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I'm aware that if you haven't been with us during this time, it may seem you may not quite understand everything that's being taught, but you can, if you desire, listen to the entire series on our website at BethanyRevival.com. And right on the home page, the whole series is there. The notes are there to be printed as well if you want to. And I'm actually not going to begin this week right where we left off last week. We left off ready to start on the common misconceptions about speaking in tongues, which was on page 15, right? Or page 14. We only got 3/4 of the way through page 14. I'm going to skip that for now. We will come back to that, but I felt led tonight to go on to page 16. So we want the Lord to have His way, don't we? I'd like you, first of all, to look at the verse that we started with last week. We're going to start with it again this week at the very bottom of page 16. Does everybody have page 16 in front of you? The little number one there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, but as I said last week, it packs a powerful punch. And it says, quench not the Spirit. It's talking about the Holy Spirit, and it says, quench not the Holy Spirit, which the word quench means extinguish. Do not extinguish the Holy Spirit of God. If you were with us in the first lesson, you know that the Holy Spirit is not a force or a something. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is God. I really shouldn't say it is. He is God. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three individual identities within the one person of God. And I understand that you cannot explain that in human terms, but that is what the Bible teaches and lays out, and we just have to believe that because the Word of God tells it to us. Alrighty, so quench not the Spirit. Do not extinguish the moving of God's Holy Spirit. And as I said, the Holy Spirit is God. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us here tonight. Father, we thank You again here for the opportunity to be in the house of God. We thank You for everybody that is here, every visitor as well. We ask, Lord, that You would touch lives. God, it's not just our teaching here that's important. It is Your Word that we're teaching, number one. And number two, the presence and the operation of Your Holy Spirit in our midst. And we ask You, God, that Your Holy Spirit would be very present in this place. You would move in our hearts and lives. And Lord, we'll give You all the praise for everything You do tonight. Lord, just have Your way, we ask in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen and amen. The Bible says, as we've read and quoted here, do not quench the Spirit. The word is, as I said, the English or the Greek word translated quench also means extinguish. Do not extinguish the Spirit. Now, when I think of that, I think of a fire extinguisher, don't you? Actually, what comes to my mind, you have to understand how my mind sometimes thinks visually. And what comes to my mind is when they used to allow cigarette smoking on airplanes for a certain amount of time. And then when they're getting ready to take off, they would say, please extinguish your smoking materials. And I would picture somebody coming out with a fire extinguisher and spraying it all over somebody to put out their smoking material. Well, they're extinguishing a fire. And you know, the Holy Ghost will bring a fire in our soul. Amen. If we let the Lord have His way in our lives, He will bring a fire in our soul, a fire that burns out sin, a fire that fills us with a hot glowing love for Jesus. Amen. The fire of the Holy Ghost. And often in Scripture, that which the Lord does through His Holy Spirit is symbolized by fire. Jesus said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen? And he spoke of the fire burning up the sin in believers' lives. Now, if you are not a believer tonight, if you do not know Jesus Christ in a personal way, and you do not know the joy of your sins being forgiven, I am here to tell you that there is good news for you. I am here to tell you that Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for your sins on Calvary's cross. He died to take my punishment and your punishment that we deserve and our very sins upon himself on the cross so that we can be forgiven. Amen. But forgiveness is not automatic. We must ask for it. And we must turn from our sin and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And if you sincerely turn by faith to Christ, he will forgive you. And he will give you everlasting life. And he will come into your life and change your life. And you will be a candidate for more of God's fire to fill your life. And for the Holy Spirit, you may not understand tonight what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is, but it is simply God filling you with his presence, and you will be a candidate for that. But tonight the Bible tells us to not quench God's Spirit, not extinguish God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to move in your life, but he is a gentleman. And he moves as we allow him to, as we give him permission, as we yield ourselves to him. Now, if you were to think about fire for a moment tonight, it takes three elements to have a fire. You have to have fuel, you have to have oxygen, and you have to have a source of ignition. And if you take away any one of those elements, if there is no source of ignition, obviously there'll be no fire. If you take away the oxygen, obviously there's no fire, or the fuel is burned up and gone, or there is no fuel, nothing to burn, then you no longer have fire. And in the same way, there is something that the fire of God needs in order to burn in lives. And you and I are the fuel. And if we will yield our hearts to the Holy Spirit, he will consume us. Amen? But we can quench the Spirit intentionally, or we can quench the Holy Spirit through neglect. If we neglect to give God our heart and our life and the permission to move in our lives in a subtle way, we're quenching his Spirit. Tonight, God would encourage us to not quench his Spirit at all, but let him have his way in our lives. And I want to tell you something. There is nothing better in your life than when you let God consume you. Amen. Amen. And so tonight, as we speak about the baptism in the Holy Ghost, I want to, if you'll go to the middle of your page now, I want to address this question. We've spent 7 weeks now talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We have seen that it is for every believer. And the question is, if that is the case, why are there some believers who are very sincere who do not have the baptism in the Holy Spirit? And that would be the question we'd want to address tonight. And I'm going to address that from two different standpoints, if you will, or two different, perhaps, groups of people, if you will. And one of them would be just in general terms of Christians, generally speaking, in churches that do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, etc. We're going to speak in those general terms. And then we're also going to speak in terms of people who are seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit and have not received. And I want to add one word to that sentence. I don't want to put a period after received. I want to add one three-letter word. The word is yet. That's an important word. Can you say amen? And we'll come back to that. But the question is, why are there some very sincere Christians who are seeking after God and they don't have the baptism with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, if indeed, as we have seen in the Word, that it is for every believer? Now, I want you to skip page 16, and we're going to go on to page 17, beginning at the top of the page. And we're going to address this in more general terms first, and then I'm going to address it in terms afterwards that may touch on something in the lives of some of you who do not yet have the baptism in the Holy Spirit and may help you in the process of seeking that out. But first, let's talk about it in more general terms here tonight. And so beginning at letter G, at the top of page 17, as to why there are many Christians who do not have this which God has for them. And sometimes it is the lack of preaching of it. The fact that preachers don't preach it. And even in many Pentecostal churches today, preachers are shying away from preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are some Pentecostal and charismatic churches where they would have a heart attack if they heard I was going to spend every Wednesday evening for at least 10 weeks teaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because they just don't preach it anymore. And the Bible tells us that God confirms the preaching of His Word. If you don't preach it, it's probably not going to happen much. Because preaching God's Word stirs faith and hunger in the hearts of people and challenges them, sometimes convicts them, and it brings people into the place where they will respond unto God and so forth. And so we're taught to preach the Word. If it's in the Bible, we should be preaching it. We shouldn't say, well, maybe some people will be offended by that. If God has it for us, it doesn't matter whether somebody's offended by it. Amen? Amen? We need to preach it. Amen. And so Mark chapter 16 and verse 20 says this concerning the early church. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. This is Mark chapter 16. It's right after Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And he listed several signs, like laying hands on the sick, and they shall recover, and casting out devils. And one of those signs was, they shall speak with new tongues. Amen? These are signs that God said would follow those that believe. But then it goes on and tells us that they went out everywhere preaching the Word of God. And God confirmed the Word that was preached with signs following. If we will preach the Word without compromise, amen, and without neglecting any aspect of it, God will confirm that Word with signs following. How many times I have seen when the Holy Spirit has led us to preach down a certain avenue, and the next thing you know, God is moving in that avenue as we followed Him. Right? And many, many times we see things that God does confirming His Word that is preached. And so it is important that we preach the Word. And sometimes people, sincere people, seeking after God, are not receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit because preachers aren't preaching it. Number two, or letter H here, other times it can be because of a lack of power in the church. A lack of power in the church, which oftentimes in this day and age is the result of replacing the moving of the Spirit with man-made, man-controlled programs. The tendency today seems to be in the church to move out the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit and replace it with man-made programs. And listen, if you're preaching a man-made program, then the only one that can honor that is man. God sure can't. Amen? And won't. And so the Holy Spirit begins to be grieved. The Holy Spirit is being quenched. The Holy Spirit is having to step aside because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Can you say amen? Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, God spoke to the people in that day and He said, my people have committed two evils. Number one, He said, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. God says, my people have forsaken me. Now, this is an interesting thing. He's not saying those who are not my people. He's saying, my people have forsaken me. And this is a verse that often holds true, sadly, today as well, that God's people are often forsaking him. He says, they've forsaken me. And he said, not only have they forsaken the fountain of living waters, but number two, they have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Now, we don't use the word cisterns very often, but we might use the word troughs. Anybody ever seen a horse trough? What would you think if I provided a horse trough for the horses to drink out of, but it was one that was rusted on the bottom and had holes in it? And so before long, all the water has seeped out and gone into the ground. It doesn't hold any water. God says, my people have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. God is the one who will fill our souls. Can you say amen? And he said, then not only have they forsaken me, but then they have hewed out cisterns, probably dug out in the rocks now, these cisterns that won't hold water. And it's like saying if we do not provide for God what he needs, we're gonna have a man-made program, we're gonna have man-made stuff being taught and followed and faith put in that which is of man, and then expect God to pour his spirit into that. It won't hold the Lord. Amen. It won't hold up to the things of God. And so many times the moving of the Spirit has been replaced with other things. And God cannot bless that. Perhaps sometimes a lack of preaching against sin or lack of preaching a consecrated life. And as the preaching against sin is not being done anymore, and people let down in their lives and allow sin in, right? And people are not hearing a message that challenges them to consecrate themselves completely unto God. Guess what? There's going to be a lack of power in that church. And there'll be people that perhaps are even seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit that really there's not much happening in the church for them to even really receive. Amen? Letter I. Sometimes lack of sound preaching. And we could address this in many areas. I think a big area that we see a lack of sound preaching in the church today many times is replacing the preaching of the finished work of Christ on the cross with preaching a message of outward personality modification through human efforts. In other words, preaching works rather than faith. And if you do not preach the finished work of the cross, and if you preach in such a way that it is all up to us to do everything and produce everything and so forth, guess what? Soon, nobody's relying on God anymore. Under a banner of religion, they're relying upon their own efforts, their own works, and God can't bless it. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, as Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, he asked them a question as he was dealing with them about this very issue. They had moved away from faith in Christ and what he had done on the cross. They were now teaching that what Christ did was not adequate. You have to be circumcised. You have to keep the law of Moses. Until you've done that, you're not really saved. In order to go on with God now, you must do all these outward things in order to please God. And Paul asked them the question, he said, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And if you're not preaching faith and you're not preaching the power of God and you're not preaching the grace of God, but you're simply preaching to people that they must produce something, then God can't bless that. And that will certainly negate the power of God in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, and I'll just read verse 2 and 5 here in your notes. Paul said, I had determined not to know anything among you. When he went to Corinth, he said, I had determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then he went on in verse 5 and he said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God cannot bless faith that is in the wisdom of men. Can you say amen? He blesses faith that is in the power of God. Excuse me. So we're talking about reasons why sincere Christians, and we may know folks in the Baptist Church and Methodist Church and the Nazarene Church, different churches, people that love the Lord and are sincere with God and yet do not enter into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And some of these are some of the reasons. Letter J, misconceptions, wrong teachings, and blindness of heart. And Lord willing, either next week or the week after, we'll go back to discuss some of the very common misconceptions regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit, regarding especially speaking in other tongues. And oftentimes because of misconceptions, because of wrong teaching, and some of those things we will discuss here in a week or two are some of the major wrong teachings that people have had ingrained into their minds. And as a result, they are not open to the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. Satan does not want people baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you think the devil wants individuals to be immersed in and filled with the Holy Ghost, with God's presence consuming their lives? Absolutely not. He will fight to try to prevent that. And if he can blind people's hearts through wrong teachings, through misconceptions, etc., he will do that. And if you don't believe in something that God offers, then you're not going to believe for that something that God offers. And we receive from God by faith. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us that the word of God preached to the, it's talking about those who had come out of the bondage in Egypt, and the word of God preached to them did not profit them. How could the preaching of the word not profit somebody? It tells us in that text because they didn't mix faith with what they heard. If we don't embrace the word of God by faith, and if we're being taught that God's word isn't God's word, that God doesn't do what God's word says it does, we're being taught things that blind our eyes to what the Lord offers, then we're certainly not going to mix faith with the word in that area, right? Matthew 21 and 22, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." And James 4, 2, "You have not because you ask not." There are many people who are not asking God to baptize them in the Holy Spirit because their pastor taught them that God doesn't do that anymore. That died with the last of the apostles. Tongues have ceased. God doesn't do that. The gifts of the Spirit don't operate anymore. And they're being taught that. And so they have no reason to ask God to do that because they believe what they're being taught. And that often is the case. Letter K, sometimes pride. Pride that prevents people from receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I heard of a preacher one time that said, "Well, I know God doesn't do that anymore today because if he did, I would have it." Now, what does that sound like? First of all, it sounds like somebody basing their faith on their experience rather than on the Word of God and seeking God that their experience would line up with the Word, right? And getting the cart ahead of the horse, so to speak, or the caboose in front of the engine. But besides that, it sounds like pride, doesn't it? Well, if God did that, I would have it. So it can't be that God does it. I mean, after all, who could be more spiritual than me, right? That's kind of the attitude there. And pride will hinder people from receiving what God has for them. Psalm 22, verse 26 says, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied." Psalm 25, 9, of course, the meek are those, it's the opposite of the proud. It's those who are willing to listen to the Lord and willing to be taught. It says, "The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way." Amen? So those are some reasons. But I want you to turn back now to page 16. On the first side of that sheet I handed you tonight, or if you had your notes, the first side of that. And I want to talk about some things that may touch, maybe more likely to touch on the areas in some of your lives who are seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit and haven't received. And I want to start with the first one here. And I want to say this again, the all-important word, haven't received yet. Don't give up. Amen. As you see this being God's promise for your life, Don't just settle in and say, well, I got prayer for it several times and I was close and I didn't get it, or I don't see God doing anything, so I'm going to give up. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. Amen. Patience is endurance in spite of obstacles, difficulties, failures, delays, and the like. And you're not serving God today because you laid down your arms and gave up when you didn't see everything coming through when you wanted it to. So don't do that with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Keep on keeping on. Keep on looking to God and believing God. I'm not saying you got to bang your head against the wall praying about it. Sometimes you've prayed everything you need to, you know, to pray, right? And there's nothing more to pray. Just let the Lord know every once in a while, Lord, I'm still waiting on you. I'm still looking for you to move here. Amen. So one of the things I think we should mention, letter A, and is very important, is as to a reason why someone has not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit yet, is God's timing in our lives. Now, there are some that teach that you must tarry for the Holy Ghost and, you know, and this kind of thing. The Holy Spirit's being poured out ever since the day of Pentecost. It is not biblical to teach people you must wait. However, we would be foolish not to recognize that in things that God has for us and things that He promises us and we have every reason to believe Him for now, yet there is God's perfect timing. Amen? And that may sound like an oxymoron, but it's the case. And so, you know, I don't think we ever can ignore the fact of God's timing in our lives. And that can either be affected by things that are somewhat within our control, or it can be affected by things that God is doing in our lives that are beyond our control. And so it's not strange to think in our hearts and minds that God has a perfect timing for everything in our lives. And that can be the reason that we haven't received yet. And we don't always know. That's why we have to trust the Lord. Can you say amen? And so, you know, we would have to look and say, I cannot exempt the idea of God's timing. And let me say again, there may be things that God needs to change in your life, some of which you have control over. So there could be some things that somebody needs to be yielding to the Lord about, seeking God about, and the Holy Spirit will lead you, that you have control over, that can speed up the process. But then in other cases, there may be things that you don't have any control over, that God is working on in your life to prepare you. And so you just got to walk with Him and trust Him. Amen? And just keep seeking Him. Whatever the Lord must do in your life to prepare you for what He has provided for you in Christ and what He has for you, He will do in your life as you seek Him and yield to Him. Amen? So God's timing is one reason that perhaps somebody hasn't received yet. Letter B can sometimes be because of a lack of desire or hunger for it. Now, this balances that other one, the other thing I've just said. And so we don't want to say, well, it's probably not God's timing, so I'll just forget about it for now. And, you know, if God wants me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, He'll do it. We see in the Word of God that not only does He want us to, He wants us to hunger for it and seek it out of Him. And so there's a balance here. Learning to trust the Lord, right? Learning to reach out and believe God, hunger for and desire what God has for you, and yet patiently wait on His timing, right? And we don't always know where we are. So just keep seeking and trusting and waiting and watching and looking for God to do what He's promised to do. But if somebody has no desire or hunger for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're probably not going to receive it, right? And Scripture says He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Somebody said, well, I was hungry for it. Well, change that was to am. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to keep hungering until the Lord fills me. Amen. Don't lay that aside just because you haven't received yet. Letter C, sometimes lack of prayer for it. The Bible says sometimes we have not because we ask not. Amen. Luke 11:13, God made this promise. Here's one to take with you to your prayer closet and hold on to how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Amen? Your Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. In that same context, it says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you for everyone. Amen. The devil tells you you're the only one that won't receive. Everyone that asks receives. And to he that seeks finds, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Amen. Everyone that asks receives. Don't let the devil tell you that you're the one person that God won't answer your prayers. The devil's a big, fat, ugly, disgusting, despicable liar. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
We can think of a lot of other things to call him that he is. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He is the tempter. Nothing good in the devil. And he wants to tell you that God won't answer your prayer, but he is a liar. Letter D, lack of surrender, need for repentance. This can be a hindrance in our lives from receiving the Holy Spirit. Are you surrendered to Christ? Right? We hear messages, Sunday morning message that we had this last Sunday would really challenge you concerning really surrendering all to Christ. Take a hold of that. Prepare your heart in the presence of God by surrendering your all to Jesus. If there's sin God shows you in your life, repent of it. Amen? Lay that down. If we're holding on to something, or withholding a part of ourselves, or holding on to sin, that certainly is going to hinder us from receiving, right? And so Scripture says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so if there's sin we're observing in our lives, but we're not repenting of, that's going to prevent the Lord from moving, isn't it? Lay that at the feet of Jesus. Confess that to the Lord. Lay it down. Let the Lord bring you into victory over it and prepare you for what He has for you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Lack of faith. Now, you know what the wonderful thing is about all of these things? They can all be fixed. Amen? So if your faith hasn't quite brought you up into the baptism with the Holy Spirit yet, there's that word yet, let's keep that right there, amen? There's a fix for that. Faith is the fruit of God's Spirit. Just because you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not at work in your life. And you know He's at work in your life if you've been serving Him, don't you? And you know what He's been doing for you. And so He will work a faith in you. Set your mind, set your heart to believe God, plant your feet, so to speak, that I am going to believe God for what God's Word promises me here. Amen? And God will work in you. Give Him something to work with here. Let Him build your faith. Keep absorbing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? Keep absorbing God's Word. Keep meditating on God's Word. Keep talking to the Lord about what He says. Keep striving to stand upon the promise of God, looking for the Lord to help you do so. Amen? Matthew 21:22 says, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Amen? If it's God's promise, keep looking to the Lord. You are going to receive as you believe Him. Letter F, sometimes a hindrance to receiving is a fear of letting go. Fear of letting go, or lack of complete trust. Or, which is just another way of saying fear of letting go, really, right? A little fear there of letting go and letting God have His way, perhaps, right? A little lack of complete trust in the Lord. Or sometimes just simply being overly concerned. What if it's not God? Right? And the Holy Ghost is all over you, trying to fill you and moving all over you. And I'm afraid, what if it's not God? Just yield over to the Lord, let Him have His way. Amen? You have to be afraid. Trust Him. Let Him have His way. If you're that afraid about what if it's not God, then ask the Lord to do it while you're at home so you can try it out and see. Amen? If you're that, you're just so afraid. Right? Ask the Lord, hey, you don't have to be in church to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, do you, Brother Josh? Where's Brother Josh? There he is. Couldn't see him hiding behind Christy. Well, you got baptized in the Holy Ghost in your home, didn't you? I got baptized in the Holy Ghost in a room at Bible college by myself. Or at least refilled, I should say. I was in a tent revival when I got baptized, but I really got refilled, really, really refilled in a room by myself. I know a woman got filled with the Holy Ghost jogging. I know another woman got filled with the Holy Ghost in the bathroom at nursing school. Won't mention her name. But her initials are Esther Richards. God is moving everywhere. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Just open up your heart and let Him have His way. Just yield yourself over to Him. Quit letting fear grip your heart. Amen? Devil's a liar. Maybe sometimes we need to just let the Lord help us with some fear to set you free from it. Amen? And so it can cause you sometimes to quench the Spirit. Afraid, well, what if it's not God? Like you're gonna like you just walk down the street and decide you're gonna start doing this, right? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm afraid, man, my lips are chattering a mile a minute. But if I open my mouth and speak, what if it's not God? Well, is there a chill in the room? Or is it the Holy Ghost? Let go and let God. Amen. Quit your worrying. Start off softly at first if you need to. Amen. I don't know how you can do it. Sometimes, though, you let the Holy Ghost take over. And I'll tell you what, I found out it was pretty hard to keep quiet as I let the Lord fill my life. Amen. We need the Lord, don't we? And we need the Lord to have His way. As I've said in several services, one of these services we're going to go through and just talk about simple steps in the Word of God to receive in the Holy Ghost. And one of them we see often is laying on of hands. Somebody who believes God, laying hands on you, with you, and believing God with you, and the Holy Ghost responds to that faith. Amen. Remember the scripture we preached about recently? When Jesus saw their faith, He moved. Amen. Forgave a man of his sin and healed him of his inability to walk. And he walked out of church, out of the house there. Actually, it was church in the house, though, wasn't it? Healed by the power of God. Tonight, I want the Lord to see our faith as we reach out and believe God for somebody. Amen. Can you say amen? That God would touch lives. If you have a need, we will pray with you here at this altar. And we believe God to meet that need. And if you are hungry for God to fill your life with His Holy Spirit. Somebody said, you've already prayed for me 5 times about this, Pastor. I don't care if I've prayed for you 105 times. Maybe 106 is the time that God's going to help you break loose and receive what He has for you. Amen? Now, there's some folks out there, they tell you you're not supposed to pray for somebody more than once. If you do, you don't have any faith. Well, I guess Jesus didn't have any faith then. Because there's a time in the Bible that a blind man came to Jesus. And Jesus laid His hands on him, and then He said, what do you see? And he said, well, I see men like trees walking. And the Bible said Jesus laid His hands on him a second time, and then He said, what do you see? And he said, now I see everything clearly. So if the Lord laid hands on somebody twice, it might take 102 times for me. Amen. But if one of those times the Lord moves, then you're going to receive something from God. Can you say amen? That's all it takes is the Lord doing it once. And so I'm just dumb enough to believe God. How about you? I'm just dumb enough to believe that God will consume every life that is given to Him tonight and fill you with His Holy Spirit. If you want to call it dumb, I think it's actually pretty smart. But I'm just simple enough to believe God and do it again and not be discouraged if it isn't your time yet, but it's your time the next time. Each time, I'm going to believe right now is your opportunity. Amen. Until I see God do it. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me to your feet as my musicians come? And let's pray. Hallelujah. And I wonder tonight if everybody would bow your head and close your eyes with me. And I wonder tonight if the Holy Spirit of God has been drawing you to Christ. And you know that you are not a true follower of Jesus. But you want to become one tonight. You believe what I was saying at the beginning of this message, that Christ died on the cross for you and took your sins on himself on the cross. And you believe that he will save you because his word says he will. He said that if we confess Christ with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. And I wonder if there happens to be an individual here tonight that you want to make a personal decision for Jesus Christ. And you want to put your trust in him. And you would like to confess him as your Lord, like that verse says, tonight. If there's an individual or more that would like to make a decision for Jesus Christ, I'd like to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm going to ask you to come forward. And I will pray with you and help you to pray. Is there one individual tonight that you are not sure that you're really a Christian and you want to commit your life to Jesus tonight? The altar is open. Would you please raise your hand if that's you? I see a hand.